It's time for Windows Weekly. We're going to talk about the Surface Pro launch. Did Microsoft botch it, or was it all part of a grand scheme? Let's find out next on Windows Weekly.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Mary Jo Foley, episode 299, recorded February 14th, 2013. A horse-sized duck. Windows Weekly is brought to you by Podio from Citrix. Manage your projects with files, instant communication, and collaboration all in one workspace. Start using Podio today. It's free. Just visit Podio.com to sign up, set up your first workspace, and then invite your team to get started. Work the way you want to with Podio.com. And by Squarespace, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website, blog, or online portfolio. For a free trial and 10% off your first purchase on new accounts, go to squarespace.com. Use the offer code Windows2. And don't forget to try their newly launched developer platform for complete code control. It's time for Windows Weekly, ladies and gentlemen, once again. We're going to open up a can of pop filter on you.
Can of pop ass.
Well, it's a long story. I don't want to get into it. Paul Thurrott is here. Mary Jo Foley is here. They are experts on Microsoft. She writes all about Microsoft.com. He is the editor-in-chief of the Supersite for Windows. Between the two of them, there is not one thing happening in Redmond, Washington that they're not all over. All over it.
You make us sound like stalkers.
Blogging is a kind of a legitimized form of stalking, I would guess.
It is.
Yeah. Legalized stalking.
So I went online, store.microsoft.com on Friday. I couldn't even check the radio button for 128 gig.
When you did that, was there a laughing sound?
We'll have it next month or something, but they wouldn't. It was like, no, you can't even check the button.
Right.
So that's a sellout. On Twitter,
somebody said
Microsoft did not have the courage of their convictions in this and didn't make enough of them.
If there's one thing that Apple is way better at than Microsoft, it is accepting your money. Right?
Yeah.
So let's assume that both companies make 10 units of a product. And if you went to Apple's website and you were customer 11, they would still take your money. And then the site would change and it would say available right. in 1 to 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. They wouldn't even tell you to after you ordered it.
No. Oh, we'll Microsoft, I don't know how you run out of something which can continually be manufactured, but they found a way.
But they say they'll be more in store like this weekend, right?
Yeah.
Who would believe these people now, Leo?
Do we know how many? Yeah. What was the deal? Do we know how many they sold? Do we know?
No.
I've seen some excellent math.
Nope. We don't know how many they made.
I still can't check the 128 gigabyte Surface Pro button.
Right.
It doesn't imply coming back soon. It just says out, gone.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
Now, Google.
We've wound down production of that one, Leo. You're going to have to get the 64 gig version.
Yeah. Google did the same thing with the Nexus 4. And I mean,
that was right. I went through that. So I actually, maybe that's why I have so little patience for this, because I actually spent many, many hours trying to buy that Nexus 4 thing, getting partway through the purchasing process, only to have the cart be emptied and have the whole thing screwed up. You know, that was very frustrating. Microsoft, I got to give them some credit. I went there and it was just impossible to buy from moment one. So I guess they got that bit of it right. But I just don't understand how you could screw something like this up.
Yeah.
Right?
There's been a ton of user frustration, right? Because people didn't think they could pre-order. Then some found out they could have, but they didn't know they could have. Some stores like Best Buy were letting you put a reservation in if you bought a $50 gift card. I mean, there were rules all over the place, and nobody seemed to know what the rules were. Right? So that made people very angry.
Is there a reason why you would do this? Like, I mean, is there, you know, I mean,
you
like
buy a Surface Pro or?
No. Is there a reason Microsoft would do this?
Oh, I got you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Like a valid reason?
Like a marketing. Yeah. I mean, is there like a.
No, I don't think some people were speculating. They only put a few out in the channel so that they could say they sold out. There's no way they did that. They'd much rather have your money than say, hey, we sold out.
Right.
You know what this reminds me of? When I was in college, I used to walk by the Barbizon Hair for School in Kenmore Square in Boston.
Yeah.
And they would offer free haircuts to college students so that their students could learn how to cut hair. And now this is what we're doing with the Microsoft Store. We're being involved in a learning process for a company that has no idea what they're doing. And it's
$5 haircut. $5 haircut right here.
Results may vary. You know, you may get what you want. You may not. I don't know.
$5 haircut here. I want to buy one.
No, there's signs that there's like a real disconnect in the supply chain. Like I talked to two different people this week who said that when they did get their 128 gig Surface Pros, they were in 64 gig boxes. Like the boxes came, said 64 gig. They open it. It's 128. They're like, okay.
That's awesome.
What's happening?
Do they know where these are? Do we know who's making these? Are they made at Foxconn? Are they made in?
That's a good question.
I think they have said China, right?
Yeah. Well, that's a safe bet.
I mean, they haven't said Foxconn officially, I don't think, but a lot of people think that's where it is.
Yeah.
I just have this image of people throwing stuff into boxes and hoping for the best.
It's not like this is like, no one's ever worked with China before, so it's a terra incognita. We don't really know how this is going to work
out. How many of these things do you want?
It is true that Microsoft's never made PCs before, but they have manufactured things before.
Yeah.
I mean, is the Wedge Mouse made in Des Moines?
It's made in where the Wizard of Oz is by the little people.
Yes. We're out of the dock. We're making Surface Pros.
right. Like
it
a Willy Wonka
it
setup.
It seems like they made more of the 64 gig than the 128 because those seem to be in stock in some places.
Or demand is non-existent.
Right. Or maybe that's it.
I would say demand is non-existent for the 64 gig version. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. So they may have made the same amount, but nobody wanted them or something.
I have no idea. I just
we don't know.
They know how to do market research. I would assume that they knew going into this that 9 out of 10 people wanted the 128, and or whatever the figure is, and then they proceeded to give 0 to 2 of those to every store in the country.
Microsoft never ceases to amaze me.
It's amazing. It is amazing. I actually wrote an editorial about this today that I haven't posted because it's so negative. I just feel weird about it. Like I almost
snatched defeat from the jaws of victory.
Yeah. It's called Things Can Only Get Better. Because literally they can only get better.
Because they couldn't get worse.
There's no way to save this.
Yeah.
Like how dumb this is, you know? There's weirdness on the side. You know, I certainly dealt with a lot of this over the weekend. I assume Mary Jo did as well. There's also sort of a, you know, like a Clinton-esque right-wing conspiracy where there's a lot of people trying to tear down this product and try to prove that it is not selling at all and that this sellout means absolutely nothing. But, you know, I've also seen lots of photos of Microsoft stores. Hundreds of people deep in line, and they had 100 units to give out, or 150, or whatever it was, and people were standing there almost all day long. So, you know, obviously in some places there was some kind of a excellent Apple-style retail thing occurring, and then in many places there was frustration. I had a friend of mine who tried to buy one of these over the weekend, and I had dinner with him the other night, and he was absolutely livid. I mean, he was almost like striking the table.
Wow!
Because he was, you know. The very thought that Microsoft makes this thing that you want to buy, it's fairly expensive. It's about $1,200 once you've factored in the keyboard and everything.
Yeah.
Why won't you take my money? You know, I mean, it's crazy.
I can't. I mean, that's the, you know, I can understand running out. And we've seen it happen before. Google ran out very quickly of its tablets and its phones. But
Google didn't sell those through stores. Like,
right.
In other words, people didn't drive to a local or, yeah, by the way, not too local.
You found out right away.
Best
online.
Buy, Staples, or Microsoft Store, if you're lucky.
Yeah.
It just to get shut down. I mean.
And I don't think Google was trying to get in the hardware business. These were more reference designs anyway. This is Microsoft's first PC.
Yeah. Well, second PC. See, that actually makes
it
worse.
RT was a tablet. This is a Windows PC, yeah. Right?
Okay. They should have known that this was, you know, I mean, that people were going to want this thing.
Yeah. You know, another thing is, because we mentioned Staples, here's another crazy thing. Staples, yeah. I guess, is not getting any 120 gig Surface Pros. You can have one shipped to the store. You can order it online, but you can't get them at Staples. But nobody knew this. So a lot of people went to Staples.
That's frustrating.
Too. Yeah. And nobody could get them. And then it turns out it's because they're not coming there at all.
So I'm really trying to.
We all are, Leo.
Find a charitable interpretation of this. Is it possible Microsoft just really thought everybody would get 64 gigs? Nobody would possibly.
No, that is not possible. It is literally not possible.
The 64 almost feels like it's the decoy product. So yeah. You say,
yeah.
Well,
it's the one that gets you in the showroom.
Right. Oh, at a good price. But, oh, I really want more storage.
Oh, wait, I can't drive a stick shift. I need the real car.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
It couldn't. I mean, even we on the outside, I mean, I'm not an expert. You guys are experts, so maybe you know better. But on the outside, as a normal person, I would just think you'd probably sell more 128s.
This is the blind leading the deaf. We have no idea what's going on here.
But I'm giving you a lot of credit.
I think it was Mary Jo this week who said to me, or it's publicly, I don't even remember, I mix these things up, that it seems like they did not deliver the 128s almost at all to anything other than Microsoft stores.
Yeah.
And that seems like this might have been by design. But it's unclear whether those stores ordered the 64s and not the 128s or vice versa. Days later, I looked at the Best Buy ad from Sunday. I usually see it Sunday morning, but we had that big snowstorm and then, you know, we were busy Sunday, whatever. But days later, I looked at it. And what you see, if you look at Sunday's Best Buy ad, is that they are advertising 64 gigs. They don't even mention the fact that there could be a 128. So they knew well in advance, right? Those circulars have to be printed at least a week in advance, I would imagine, that this was going to happen. Further suggesting to me, at least, that Microsoft knew this was going to happen. I think it would have been kind of a nice thing to say, like, hey, by the way, you know, we are launching this. It's kind of a soft launch. We're going to have a lot of the 64s. If you're in the market for 128, yeah, you might want to wait a week or two. You know, that would have been we'll take your money now and we'll send it when it arrives, you know. And I'm sorry, there is no logical or reasonable explanation for why they didn't do that.
Are there massive containers in the water coming our way from China, filled with 128 gigabyte Surface Pros?
Yeah, those in Subarus.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you know, maybe they're all on the Carnival cruise ship that's coming in at 1 mile an hour.
Yeah, really. Today, I've been hearing from people who said they're calling their stores and they're hearing they're showing up today. Like I've heard from three or four different people on Twitter. Hey, I went by my store today and they had them.
What store, though?
Some are saying Microsoft stores. Some are saying Best Buys.
But none are saying Staples, which appears to be the third world country of this little triumvirate, this little axis of evil, you know?
Yeah.
I agree with
Paul, though. Like, why couldn't they have just done a blog post and said, you know what? We didn't make enough of the 128s. We underestimated that. And they're going to be here, and we're going to help you get this right. It feels like they're getting more open on the Surface team. Like they did that Reddit recently. That was really great. They answered questions. And now you have them not talking at all about the supply issue. And I don't see why they shouldn't or couldn't.
It's not
this.
Embarrassing to say we screwed up. It's the first time we ever did this. It was Mary Jo who said earlier that, you know, remember this thing was supposed to launch in January originally. And they pushed it back to February. And her supposition was that maybe they knew about this supply issue and that's why they pushed it back. But maybe they didn't, you know, push it back enough.
Far enough. Maybe there was an issue of making these things. That happens.
Yeah.
New product. Turns out we couldn't.
You can imagine how Apple would have spun this story. You know,
right.
The design is so intricate that we can't. Most human beings can't, in fact, assemble this thing, and so it takes longer than we thought it was going to make them. So we're really sorry, but the epic high quality of this product is what's putting it over the top. And you know, we're not going to make them faster because that would screw up the quality. So you know, there's ways to do this right, and then there's the way that they did do it. You know, and yeah, you know, they've been very transparent on Reddit and elsewhere, which I like. But when the question of supply comes up, all they say is, you know, that kind of pat response. We're really eager to get all these into the hands of customers, you know, that want them. And yeah, okay. But
yeah,
know, take the order. I mean, I think that would solve a lot of problems for some people. I don't have to have it today. I just want to know that I'm getting it.
Now here's the exact statement they made on yesterday, February 13th. They posted to the Surface blog and they said, "We are shipping 128 gig SKUs later this week to retailers, some units available by the end of the week. Our priority and that of our retail partners is to fulfill the orders from customers who made a reservation first." But no one knew they could make a reservation.
Where does that come from? What reservation?
Well, some Microsoft stores let you get a reservation card. But I don't think, I know, it was so like, maybe you can, maybe you can't get an advance order.
It's like the Seinfeld joke, you know, it's easy taking a reservation. The hard part is keeping the reservation. Anyone can take a reservation.
It's just you expect so much more of a big company. It's been in business for a few years. It's so inept. It's so strikingly inept from beginning to end. I mean, I could see you could have a problem making it, or you could have a problem supply chain, or you know. But then, but to add that to the communication issue and out reservation that don't do any, it's just inept. And somebody's got to. Microsoft has to sit up and say, "I'm going to take responsibility for this." Do you think Steven Sinofsky is taking pleasure in this, or is it painful for him?
I refuse to discuss that, man. No, I don't know.
You know, there could be a little Schadenfreude on his part, a little, you know, shameful joy and misfortune of others.
I would like to think that he has some.
I would think he'd go, "Oh God, come on, guys!"
Yeah,
you know, I mean, he's watching on the sideline saying, "Team."
Yeah, I assume he is not wishing them ill from afar. I obviously this is. You know, his baby in some ways. I would like to think that he would want this to succeed, but man, they're really just.
So here's another question. Do you think that as a result of the unavailability of the 128 gigabyte Surface Pro, people went in the store, said, "Oh, well," and then picked up something else? We see bump in sales from Lenovo? And
it's a good question.
HP.
I wrote an article about this week because I read and I recommend to others that they read Laptop Magazine because I trust their reviews. And I was really surprised to see them give a much higher review to a Surface competitor. It was the Samsung Smart PC Pro 700T, which I happen to have. Then they gave to the Surface Pro, which I also happen to have. And I actually think that the Surface Pro is mostly better than that other device in important ways. But
worth waiting for.
Yeah, I mean, there's a weird issue you get into with the Surface Pro, at least for us in the PC space, where a lot of the appeal of this thing is emotional, not pragmatic. You know, you can buy any PC that will help you get work done. I mean, there are plenty of hybrid devices. In fact, I was just in Best Buy the other day and was a little shocked given what it looked like a few weeks ago.
Stuff is coming out now.
Yeah, the sheer variety of devices that are available today is pretty amazing, by the way, if you haven't looked.
Yeah, we're getting a lot for review. We've seen a lot of great Windows.
Yeah, there's a lot out. There is a lot. So that's a positive change.
Yeah.
That said, I mean, why would you spend $1,200 on a Surface Pro over some other device? You know, it doesn't have a real keyboard, not really, and it only has one USB port and all that kind of stuff. It's that thing that Apple people have known for a long, long time. It's more of an emotional response.
And people want to buy it from Microsoft if they can, right?
Yeah,
Google. The Nexus 4 was not, in my opinion, the best Android phone out there. People really wanted the Google version of it.
Because Nexus phone is a terrible phone, actually. But,
yeah, well, compared to, say,
the camera is awful, for example.
Yeah, I don't think it's... I think there are better Android phones.
But it's a pure Google experience.
It's a pure Google experience, which is, I guess, you could equate to a signature PC. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have the vendor crapware on it.
Well, that's the other bit of it, by the way, not to get too far into that machine comparison, but, you know, that Samsung device is loaded with crapware.
Yeah.
I mean, loaded with crapware.
People are used to that, though. They expect that now.
They shouldn't. You know,
I know. I wish they didn't. They shouldn't. I know. They shouldn't put up with it.
I think a lot of people, too, assume if you have a Microsoft PC or a Microsoft tablet, it's probably going to work better, right? Because they're controlling the end-to-end experience.
Yeah,
so even if it doesn't, you still kind of have this idea like, yeah, Microsoft's going to fix theirs first.
Yes,
right?
I think so.
Is the first part of the end-to-end experience the part where you buy it, though? Because
Yeah.
Nothing comes in, nothing's going to come out, right?
I'm looking for the end.
Yeah.
Which when end? Does this end?
Where do I put this in?
Yeah.
Just stick it in right there, please. But I think there's some good Lenovo choices.
There's
a very nice
choices,
but... Asus choice, a very nice Acer choice. And I think people probably should, given the some of the battery life issue.
Well, that's what I mean. It's, in other words, if you look at this completely pragmatically, if you just look at specs, Surface doesn't make sense for almost anybody.
It's pricey.
It doesn't make sense almost at all.
Yeah.
So that's not why people want it. And this is new for us. We feel a little queasy about this on the PC side. You know, Apple guys are, I think, just used to this. They just want stuff and they don't have to think about it. They're confused when people question it. They don't understand, why
is Samsung.
I mean it honestly. And by the way, I'm not trying to be children.
No,
you are sure of yourselves.
Oh yeah.
And I got to tell you, coming from the Microsoft side, and I suspect Mary Jo would agree with this. We haven't really talked about it, but I envy that surety. I don't have that with Microsoft and with this product.
Well, you're getting less and less of that, I got to tell you. I'm less and less confident.
It would be nice. It would be nice to be sure.
Had they pulled this off without a hitch.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Then you could say maybe, well, good, this is good, and I'm going to have the one that's updated best and first and blah, blah, blah. Those Pogo plugs are going to do something cool.
Apple is supposedly working on an iWatch, right? Yeah. Sounds like the stupidest idea in the history of mankind.
I wouldn't want it.
You know what? Doesn't matter. They're going to sell millions of these things.
Yeah.
And by the way, here's how you know. This is perfect. You'll love this one. Microsoft did it first. And they completely screwed it up. Nobody bought them.
It's terrible.
Now Apple's going to do it. They're going to sell millions of those.
I think Apple probably says, okay, what if Microsoft screw up?
Yeah, what can't they do? That's why Apple got out of servers. It's like the one thing Microsoft does right. You know?
Nowhere to compete. Alrighty. Well, let's just move on. Don't know, there's nothing more to be said. It is a stunning kind of thing to have happen. It's got to kill some people at Microsoft who know that they could be selling gosh knows how many more of these things.
And by the way, as we record the show, the Surface Pro here is sitting here churning away like a little snowblower, with its little fans going, because it's doing this stuff. You know, I've got video going in HD and...
Are you on it on a Skype? Is that your Skype machine? No.
Yeah, I was through the Surface Pro.
Oh, so you're telling me that you're doing you're like compiling videos while you're on the Skype call?
No. I mean the Skype call is the HD call.
Doing other things.
I'm doing torrents, I'm rendering a 3D landscape of some kind.
Well, I am a good example.
I don't know why these calls never work.
I can't understand it. I'm a good example of somebody who's a little on the fence waiting. I think I need a Windows 8 machine for sure. I have Surface RT.
But what kind of machine do you need or want,
I'm looking at the Carbon, the X1 Lenovo X1 Carbon.
I think
Touch.
Right. That would be
Because
I made a 50, if they made a 15-inch version of that.
Yeah.
I would spend $2,000 on that right now.
Iaz has one right over there. I kind of want to just take it from him.
It is a beautiful machine.
He's reviewing it for our Before You Buy show. Yeah, that seems to me the one. Although I saw a beautiful, I think it was Acer. It was kind of creamy, translucent white, and it was very pretty.
Yeah.
Ultrabook. Gosh,
they have those at the Microsoft store. Those are, you can get a signature version of that. There's a couple of Acer, I think it's Acer, the Acer tablets, the W500, W700.
Yeah, Iconias.
Yeah, both very good. There's a lot.
I
went to the Best Buy. I was shocked.
Yeah, well, that's good news.
The Asus Vivo Tab, I keep hearing people really liking the RT version of that. People are saying, that's a really good little machine for what it is.
There's I want to say 11-inch, like a mini laptop. Asus has touchscreen. It's maybe $450. It looks beautiful. It looks like a little Mac, MacBook Air type machine.
Is it too early to just tell Microsoft to get out of the Surface business? You know, it was a nice idea. It was a good experiment. Yeah. You clearly don't have the...
You know what? Okay. The one thing I will... And Mary Jo listened to this as well. And in fact, this is how I found out about it. Microsoft CEO, CFO, Peter Klein, appeared recently at Goldman Sachs Tech Conference. And was, I thought, pretty transparent about, you know, the issues they've had and all that kind of stuff. I thought it was kind of an interesting talk. It's always interesting to me when people speak like that about what they're doing, because he doesn't seem confused or worried or whatever. He's like, oh, no, you know, it's been a learning process. We did this on purpose and we wanted to see what this was like. And we put out RT limit in a limited way on purpose, you know, and he's got a very positive kind of spin on the whole thing. And for a little while, you can kind of fall in that little web of, you know, belief. Like, oh, yeah, they know what they're doing, you know. I don't think they know what they're doing, though. He's very believable, he is. But I don't know. I don't know about this stuff.
Yeah. I really hope that before the end of this year, there's one more, at least one more Surface. And yeah, one that has longer battery life and... it's like the RT, but with battery life. I mean, sorry, RT with more processing.
See, but you're giving everybody a reason. Now Microsoft's given everybody a reason to say, well, let's wait and see.
They have.
The impulse is over. The impulse buy is over. Okay. Because, for instance, the CFO at the D conference yesterday, or the whatever that was, said, we might make a mini.
Goldman Sachs.
That's it. I would buy. Yeah. You know what? I love that. I love my iPad Mini.
Yeah, but did you see what he said? He said, first of all, what he was suggesting was that someone in this ecosystem could do this. You know, maybe not Microsoft. He also listed every possible number of inches the screen could have. He said it could be four inches, five inches, six inches, seven, eight inches. Yeah.
And then he said, bigger. We could make a table. Bill Gates had an 80-inch screen on his AMA. I don't know if it was touch.
You know, because things are so bad, I think we fall into a trap, and Mary Jo has definitely seen this online, certainly, with software and with hardware, where people are now seeing what a disaster that some parts of Windows 8 are, and RT, and the Xbox Entertainment apps, and Windows Phone 8, are all putting their faith and belief in this Blue update, that this will solve all the problems.
That's exactly. Somebody just said that in the chat room.
Blue cannot come out fast enough.
Somebody in the chat room said this will all become clear with Windows 9. Everything
will come out. I swear to God, it's going to be like Windows 8 SP1 or something. So on the hardware side, though, it's what Mary Jo just alluded to, which is what we're looking for is a machine that has the power and performance compatibility of Surface Pro, i.e. the Ivy Bridge processor, but has the battery life, the power management, the thin and light form factor of a Surface RT, like an ARM processor or a Clover Trail.
Right.
And of course, what we're all invested in on that side is this Haswell processor, which, by the way, may or may not be coming this year. It is Intel, after all. And I have a feeling that that thing will not be that super-duper, all-purpose, exactly everything we're looking for solution. It's going to come out and be like, it's like the next version of Ivy Bridge. It's going to be like 20% more battery life or something, not half again as much or twice as much. And I worry that we put up with problems now by believing that they're going to be fixed soon, when there has been no evidence that any of this stuff is going to be fixed soon. They've done almost nothing to fix anything so far.
You know what we don't talk about enough, and I think somebody in the chat room mentioned this, and I think it's a good point we don't talk about, is the support issue. How has Microsoft's support been for Surface? I'm not giving you a leading question. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I've heard from some people who've brought back Surface RTs because of the ripping on the keyboard, or they had some issue with pixels on their screen. And they've been pretty upbeat about what they've encountered. Good. Like they said, they just took it back and they gave me a new one.
That's another, by the way, that's a thing Apple does well, and I think is critical if you're going, because right now support in the PC world is pretty poor. It's poor. Even Dell, which was famous for support, is still pretty poor. So Microsoft, that's a real opportunity to distinguish itself.
They sell this add-on support agreement called Microsoft Complete for like $100 a year, which I read today that even if you spill something on your Surface Pro or Surface RT and you have this, you have to buy it within 45 days of buying your machine. That, like, say you spill something into it, they'll replace it. That's great.
Apple has that Apple Care thing. And even that's – actually, they have now an Apple Care Pro that does do some replacement. But see, that's – I think there's an opportunity there to win over customers.
Yeah. Me too. I totally do.
Yeah.
You know, that, and for all we were saying about this too, we should be very clear about this. We're saying, people are unhappy about the way the launch went and all. But there seem to be a lot of people who want the Surface Pro.
That's the good news.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that should be emphasized.
Yeah. They're like still trying to get it and they're like really excited about it. People who are getting it, mm-hmm. they know what they're getting. They know they're getting the 4 to 5 hour battery life and they know what the limitations are. But, you know, not everybody's like us. They don't take their machines with them and have to type all day for 8 hours, right? They might just use it for a couple hours, demo something, use Visual Studio. They use it in a different way than Paul and I probably use our machines. So we're not the real customers for this, I don't think.
We're not the real
Maybe
anything.
Paul is more than me, but...
not really. Like,
yeah, I mean, so these people are excited because they can run their existing apps. They've got a cool form factor that's very, very much lighter than what they probably already have now. And they're okay with what I'm critical of. So we should make that really clear. People like this thing.
There were lines.
Oh, and people are very upset. There is an amount of excitement out there that you don't really see a lot around the Microsoft stuff. These people really are mad that they weren't able to buy it immediately. I think that is very important to remember.
Is it a competitive price? It seems like it's a premium, is it not, for the Microsoft?
It's kind of not. I mean, the machine that I referred to earlier, from Laptop Mag, actually costs a little bit more than this one.
All right. So it's
A slightly better keyboard, but it's much heavier as a result.
Right.
And that keyboard base, which doesn't have a battery, does have a couple of additional USB ports, which frankly could be pretty useful.
Microsoft says their margin is comparable to other PC. In other words, they're not getting big bucks on this. They're suffering from the same razor-thin margins as the other OEMs.
It's only a matter of time before they start loading it up with crapware. You know?
Call for Mr. McAfee. Steve Ballmer on line 4.
We'd like to loan you some money as well.
Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley. We're talking about Windows. I like the idea of a mini. One of the articles I read said that this may be the real best hope for Windows Phone is if you can shrink Windows 8 to 4 inches, that's phone size. Maybe that's, I don't know. Anyway, just a thought. We'll talk more about that in just a second. Also coming up, I like this. We are the 2.6%. Woohoo! Woohoo! But first, a word from Podio. Is a new product from our friends at Citrix. When they first came here, and it's been 6 months now, 7 months, they said, we'd like you to take a look at this new product, podio.com. I said, I already signed up. I said, this is really cool. But the problem they're having and I'm having, we're all having, is how do I describe what Podio is? It lets you, let's put it this way. You know that when you are working on a project, working in business, you probably have stuff all over the place, right? You have email, you have documents, maybe they're on Google Docs, maybe they're on SkyDrive. You have contacts in another application, Outlook perhaps. Wouldn't it be nice to have one central interface to all of this that you can then use to not only manage what you're up to, but also to share with other people? That's what we've got. We've got it with Podio. It allows you to manage your products, create back and forth instant communication. I have numerous Podio workspaces. Let's create a new workspace. You could do this all for free if you go to Podio, podio.com. It's free to sign up and just create a workspace. You got your project collaboration. You got your lead management if you're in sales. You could create an intranet, which would do things like keep HR documents, staff meeting minutes, things like that. You can also create a blank one. Let's create lead management. I'm not in sales, but I'm going to do that. Here's your choice here. Open access for all employees, and you can even automatically join new employees. You can also make it private only. I have a Podio for a Twit editorial board, which is by invitation. things like that. Now, you also get an activity stream, which looks a lot like, you know, the activity stream on Twitter or Facebook, where you could see what people are doing, what they're up to. You could even communicate back and forth, kind of like instant messaging. Now, invite coworkers, contractors, clients to collaborate so I can add my contacts from Podio, from Google, a V-card from Outlook, from Facebook, from LinkedIn. You can also email directly via manual email address. Really cool stuff. Really cool stuff you can create here. I'm not going to go through my contacts because I don't want to. Let me see here. I guess I'll save that for later. But see, and now I've installed this. There's apps. Oh, this is another thing I didn't mention. There's all sorts of apps. So now I can keep track of sales meetings, communication, record every sale made in the app. I can keep track of leads with complete lead management. So you can see how valuable this is for sales. But it's not just for sales. There's all sorts of products. And also, look at accounting, advertising, consultancy, creative arts and entertainment. I think I'm in that field. Art studio. Here's an art studio. You can manage your art studio. Here's a IXDA local chapter. I don't know even what that is. But people are using this for education, classwork collaboration, asset inventory, TEDx event management. These are all being created by users, law firms, legal practice management. So here's the deal. This is so amorphous. You could do so much with it. It's so powerful. If you're an NGO, look, there's all these NGO apps. The Serbia Pack. I love this. This is fantastic. If you are at all interested in this kind of project management, I just encourage you, podio.com. Just sign up for free. Install some apps. Do some setup. See what's going on. Look, you can even install an RSS reader, set it up for following articles on things you need to know. This is wonderful. P-O-D-I-O, podio.com. You got to give it a try today, absolutely free. Just make sure you set up a workspace and start playing with it because you'll discover stuff all the time. Paul Thurrott, Mary Jo Foley are here. We're talking all about Microsoft. We've spent a lot of time talking about Surface.
I got the pop filter in my bottle.
That's good. You should put it on a pop bottle. Then you'd have a pop bottle filter. I don't know. Excuse me. I'm just getting over a cold. You didn't get that cold, I hope.
Leo, I've been sick for like 6 weeks in a row. You're just getting it now.
I got it from you.
It's going to be spring.
It kind of hangs on, doesn't it?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Do you recommend Fin du Monde? What is the best beer for a cold?
I do. Of that kind of beer, that's right up there, I think.
Triple Bock.
I like Delirium Tremens.
It's aptly named. I'm about to start shaking.
Or a White Rascal.
This is a beer show and a Windows show.
It's become a beer show.
I like it. I don't have any problem with that. No problem at all. So Android and iOS combine for 91.1% of the worldwide smartphone market.
We got them right where we want them, baby.
According to IDC, well, if you dig down deep, not in the first paragraph, not in the second paragraph, not in the third paragraph, way down below there, Windows Phone, Windows Mobile.
I always wish I need to have confetti on hand, so every once in a while I can just throw up a little handful of confetti.
You're in a good place, right between BlackBerry and Linux.
Which is better than last year when we were between Linux and other.
The big Linux phone market is just below Windows. You're saying 2.6%. Mostly Nokia, which is interesting.
Oh, yeah.
Nokia is 76% of all Windows phone sales.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah.
Anything more to say about
I know. It's just kind of depressing.
Leo, I love Windows Phone, and that's all
I know.
I'm going to say.
You know what? I just played with the Ative from Samsung. I thought it was beautiful.
They did.
Yeah, IaaS had customized it really thoroughly, and it was great. I think that there's some good choices out there. But so what about this idea of making Windows Phone really be just Windows? Unifying
platforms. It's a great idea.
Really?
Yeah, because Windows Phone could be Windows 8 with a phone app.
Right.
You know,
that's why I want a mini Surface Mini.
They blew it. Windows Phone 8 should have been Windows 8 running at 1366 by 768, that ideal resolution for Windows. those apps could have run snapped in a, on a true PC. Could have shared apps between the two platforms. It would have been easy to just have a mode where your app runs in portrait mode, and that's the phone version of the app, or the tablet version in portrait mode, whatever. I just don't understand why they didn't do this. But I don't know. You know, it seems like they're getting, and that was another thing that Peter Klein talked about, this notion of them getting closer to write once, run anywhere. They're right. Not quite there, but you know, Windows 8 and Windows Phone 8 are obviously close in some ways.
Now, in a way, you know, Windows Phone 6 and earlier versions were kind of like, and well, Windows CE was kind of like Windows shrunk to, but we don't have to do that anymore because the new small screens are high enough resolution, as you just said.
Right. I mean, the APIs were similar. The underlying system was completely
different back
then. Today, they are the same underlying platform. So this possibility exists. It's something they could absolutely do going forward.
Hmm. Interesting idea.
Yeah. The problem is, as some people have pointed out, you know, a lot of the Windows Phone apps are more mature than the apps on Windows 8. So you don't necessarily, you know, you don't necessarily want to just throw those away.
Right. Do you think that though this is do you think this is new to Microsoft, or that they've been thinking this way all along and it's a process?
I think they've been thinking this way. Because, you know, if you look at what they did last year, they made the NT Core the same for Windows and for Windows Phone. They got the developer platforms a lot closer together. They aren't the same yet, but they're getting there. So it's almost like last year was like the setup for this being possible. And I think we've talked before on the show about Blue. And we keep saying everything's going to be better with Blue, but it kind of is supposed to be if the Blue tips pan out, because Blue is supposed to actually change some of the APIs and some of the core as well. It's supposed to be phone and Windows.
You can't go wrong changing the API every version of Windows. It's just a win-win for everybody involved.
Yeah, and if they break backwards compatibility changing the APIs, it's not going to be a happy day.
Let's have some fun.
you can only reset so many times before people just tune you out. Yeah. You know?
That's
fair.
Oh, lordy, lordy.
Yeah.
Well, here's the good news. We're all going to Barcelona next week.
I wish we were.
I wish we were, too.
Not, sadly.
No? Didn't you go last year, Paul? Remember, you pretended it was like a trip that you weren't planning to take. But
no, I was literally on vacation in Barcelona last year.
You just happened to be in the area.
Although TechEd Europe is in Madrid this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Let's just all move to Spain.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what Microsoft says at Mobile World Congress in Barcelona, like how much they say about the future. Are they going to actually talk about any interim updates coming? I don't think they're going to talk about Blue yet. I think it's too early for them to do
I think they should, but I think you're right.
I think they won't. Because Windows hasn't even talked about Blue yet.
Right. Blue is just a rumor. We should make that clear.
Well, see, I think Windows should be there too, right? I mean, Windows 8 is very much a mobile OS.
True.
This would be a great coming out party for this Blue thing. And
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I keep hearing everybody who's telling me tips about Windows Phone. They're like, you know, there's going to be a couple, maybe one or two more interim releases, small incremental things before Windows Phone Blue. So, you know, Microsoft, they're going to talk about those, if anything, before they talk about Blue, right?
So
they're not going to open everything up.
So now this is news to me that I'm trying to absorb this here. I always thought Blue was the next version of Windows like a service. And then last week we talked a little bit about Blue might be more than we thought. But I didn't know that there is a Windows Phone Blue.
There is.
Mm-hmm. Is that the same? It's not the same? Is it colors the same?
You know.
Is it a little more indigo? I don't understand. What?
It's California
Indigo would be
blue.
A good name for them because they like the O's.
If you're calling it Blue, the implication would be that there is a unification coming.
Yep. Yeah. Well, they already are unified enough for this to be valid, I would say.
Yeah. And I think, you know, the idea is, you know how Microsoft talks about waves of technology, like the Office 15 wave and the Milestone 5, this or that. So this, when you hear Blue, like, talked about
the blue
as
wave.
Far as Windows.
Yeah.
Windows, Windows Phone.
Needs Jessica
Windows
Alba.
Server.
And then I'll be very excited about it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So it's like a whole bunch of things that are supposed to have something in common. They may not be the exact same set of code, but they're supposed to show up around the same time. roughly.
Just like Jessica Alba.
Just like
Nothing
says talent like Jessica Alba.
She did a movie called Into the Blue. I'm just trying to tie these together.
Ah, maybe that's why she was a spokesperson at the Windows Phone launch. See? Maybe. You're onto something, you.
I'm not making this stuff up. I couldn't. But she loves her Windows Phone. That much we know. Except she tweeted about it on an iPhone. But other than that,
Alicia Keys just?
It was Alicia Keys who did that. That's right. First Oprah, now Alicia. Jessica Alba, to our knowledge, is still only tweeted. I don't. You know, let me go look at her Twitter account. We could have a breaking news here. What does Jessica Alba use to tweet? Just an excuse to follow her.
I am uncomfortable giving this woman any more exposure than she already has, but
she's the new spokesperson for Blue.
Hooray.
Yay. Hey,
again, a handful of confetti would be great right now.
I'll get you, I don't know, we should think. I have a vuvuzela. maybe I get one of those air horns, you know, that they use to start boat races.
I'm just glad I didn't make those shirts. I almost made a shirt that said we are the 3%, but now I'm really glad I didn't.
Because it's not even. We are the 2.6%.
Yeah.
Well, Gartner said it was 3%.
It's close. So. You know, it's close enough. Yeah.
It's hard to count when it's that small. It's like looking through a micron, you know.
Hey, as a Mac user for years, which was in the 2 to 4 range, you know, this feels very much like that.
I didn't appreciate this at the time, but I got to tell you, it's not a good thing. You know, now that I'm experiencing it.
Being in the 2%?
I might have been a little more kind to you people if I had known things were going to go this way.
How does it feel, Paul?
It's not good. It's not good.
And it's also a more competitive environment. I mean, really, it was Windows, Macintosh, Linux. And now, I mean, you've got BlackBerry's back, baby. The BlackBerry 10, very exciting.
Yep.
You've got the Ubuntu phone.
Woohoo!
You've got Tizen.
It's the year of the smartphone Linux.
Yeah. It was a year Linux desktop. We finally gave up. Now we're going for the phone.
Well, after 12 years of that not working.
Never happened.
Oh, boy.
Mobile World Congress, we mentioned that. I'm excited. Xbox Next. Didn't somebody, wasn't there a leak somewhere with the new Xbox?
There have been many leaks.
I know.
Many leaks.
And you don't know which ones are real.
We still don't know, huh? We know, basically, that the PlayStation 4, as far as we can tell, and we're going to have an announcement on the 20th.
Right.
But it seems pretty clear that Sony is punting and is basically going to just same processor, same everything.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that true?
That's what I'm hearing. That the that the PS4 is just another PlayStation. So here's an opportunity for Microsoft. I mean,
I wonder though. So as I wrote here in the notes, you know, when you look at these numbers that they're talking about for Xbox,
and they're good numbers,
but I'm not sure they are good numbers.
Oh, 76 million consoles. Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, when you say, well, I mean, that means that the iPhone is a much bigger platform, for instance.
Well, by the way, last quarter was widely reported as one of the worst quarters in PC history as far as year-over-year sales.
Yeah.
PC makers sold 90 million units.
Right.
More than the entire run of the 360 over seven plus years.
Right.
In one quarter. One really bad quarter. It's not necessarily a huge market. I think that the 360, especially now that they're going after the entertainment market, is Microsoft's Trojan horse in the living room, and the hope is that this turns into a big market, you know, that in the same way that maybe Bing turns into a big market. But
well, here's the good news. Really, Xbox beat Wii in the United Kingdom.
when this story is told of this generation of consoles, it's a distant second at best for Xbox 360 and possibly third place out of three players. So it's possible that when this thing is all said and done, that Microsoft will find itself in the exact same place it was in the previous generation of consoles. Right. So even within the constrained size of this fairly small market, and by the way, to be clear too, I mean, just like with the Surface Pro, people who want Xbox 360 or like Xbox 360 are fanatical about it. It is the one Apple-like product.
No, I love it. It's my favorite game console. And I want to buy another one, and I am waiting because I thought maybe I'll get the 720. So I'm actually on hold, and it's killing me because I have to use my PS3. I Like Code, Stupid Xbox. This is one of the original founders of the Xbox project writing about what a flop it has been. And Kinect, which was a huge opportunity, never went.
That's a tough one because, you know, obviously they can't replace the Kinect every year, you know.
Right.
You strand a bunch of early adopters when you do that. So it's not surprising that Microsoft hasn't updated Kinect and that they will update it, you know, in the 720 or whatever that's called.
His chief complaint, though, is that Microsoft kind of missed the app boat. Had they made it easier to be a developer for Xbox, there'd be this ecosystem of small games, as there is on the iPhone, that could just drive this mother through the roof.
It's a little unfair. Okay. You know, the two sides to that are that the Xbox 360 was incredibly expensive to create, and that Microsoft is not alone, because Sony did this as well,
right,
in trying to drive out the lifetime of that device,
right,
to help pay that off. So they can't change the platform now to accommodate apps in a more elegant way. We've talked about the fact that apps on the 360 perform terribly. It's a terrible environment for apps. So,
but what if you said let them write full-blown
games. The Xbox 360 is a video game machine. So they have shoehorned Netflix onto it other apps. But the truth is, those apps do not run well on the 360. It's designed to do this one thing. The 720 or whatever that's called will be designed to multitask. It'll be more like a computer. Right. It's going to be more elegant for this kind of thing. And Microsoft has gotten the app.
But there's no room for indie developers. It costs $10,000 to become an Xbox registered developer. It should be $99 at an indie
developer. No, that's not strictly true. There is an indie game developer program for the 360.
But is it XNA or is it a full-fledged
development? No, it probably is XNA, but I believe it's $99 a year, not $10,000.
Well, that's fine, but then you have to use XNA.
Okay.
Right. Microsoft's backing away from XNA, right?
Yeah.
So,
well, we'll see what they do for the next one.
With the next Xbox Durango at 720, whatever you want to call it, the question is how much is it really going to be a PC, right? And what kind of development tools are you going to use if you are an indie developer? Because right now the message is you should use C++, which doesn't sit well with a lot of game developers. Not surprising.
That's true. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
and you know. This guy who did this rant, you know, you always have to look at your source, right? So this is a guy who left Microsoft. He wasn't happy at Microsoft, and he's ranting about, they could have done this, right?
Surprisingly, he has some tough things to say about the people he left behind.
Yeah. And, you know, criticism is valid, of course, but you also have to remember, the guy left, and he's not happy. Okay, so take that into consideration, too, right?
Sure.
Yeah, we don't really know what the indie game story is going to be. There's so many things we don't know about the next Xbox. There's all these rumors. Can you use games on it or not? And a lot of people are saying you aren't going to be able to. That will also be very not a happy situation if that's true.
There's all these weird things with video games. Because you can't cut out your traditional sellers of software, which is Best Buy, GameStop, et cetera. So obviously, Microsoft's at the point now where what they would want to do ideally is just have it be all electronic delivery.
Yeah.
As soon as they do that, they're screwing over all their partners who have all the big launch events.
But that's kind of like saying Sony's screwing out Blockbuster. I mean, do you really need brick and mortar?
I think what's going to happen is when they make these announcements about the next Xbox, what you're going to find is it has an optical drive.
Right.
You're going to buy software at Best Buy. And it's, despite the fact that we're living in this cloud computing age.
Is it because the games are too big to download? They're gigabytes.
Yeah, that could be part of it. Yeah, that's part of it. But I really think a big part of it is just Microsoft's never-ending quest to help the ecosystem. I mean, they love helping their partners, you know, and they always looked at it like a kind of circle the caravan type thing. They don't go it alone, typically. So I really do think a big part of this is them helping
those
guys.
That's something very different from many other markets. So you're saying video gaming still is a brick-and-mortar business.
For Microsoft. Now, that said, I think it was that article you just pointed to. I believe he concludes if Apple just turned the Apple TV into a game machine,
right,
it would be game over, so to speak.
Yeah,
and
he says
frankly,
yeah.
I mean, that has not happened yet is amazing to me.
I am shocked. I thought they would years ago.
Yeah, there's evidence that there are apps coming to Apple TV. Obviously, it's based on iOS, so this is a very obvious thing. And then people talk about this Apple TV, and they talk about television sets, but I think the future of the Apple TV is these little devices that you can swap out very inexpensively, and it can be this big platform with apps. You know, they don't have too many today. I mean, you can get Netflix, a couple of other things, and it's not as diverse as what you get on the 360 or even on the Roku, but that's an area where if Apple could just open a kimono a little bit, they would just dominate this immediately.
Supposedly, you know, they're adding HBO Go. They got Hulu. They got NBA.
They have Hulu too. Okay. Yeah, so there's some stuff on there.
Yeah. And, of course, Netflix.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, it's funny. I put Netflix on every other platform. And Roku is probably still the best way to watch Netflix. But the Apple TV is a close second. It works pretty well.
We don't have a device that doesn't play Netflix. Even our TV has a Netflix.
Yeah, my TV has it too. Yeah,
you know,
everything's got it. Which is why Netflix is now at $186 a share. The used game thing. That was an interesting story. That there is a feature.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about that.
You don't know
one.
If that's true. Yeah.
The feature in the Xbox 360 was that it would scratch the disc if you tried to give it to anyone else.
The red scratch of death.
Their first attempt at preventing the used game market.
Yeah.
You had to be really, you know, if you ever buy a used game for the 360, you have to pay close attention to that. You know, anyone who has gone into a GameStop and bought one, I'm sure that a big part of it is examining that thing before they leave the store.
Internet Explorer 10 still not on Windows 7.
I thought this would have happened by now, didn't you, Paul?
Yeah, I can't say that I care about this too much, but
you think 9 is good enough?
No,
he
just
doesn't care about Windows 7.
Oh, he doesn't care about Windows 7.
I've moved on.
So last year,
Leo, it's the future of Windows, not the past of Windows.
All right. Now, with Opera going WebKit, there are only two non-WebKit browsers in the market. There's Firefox and there's IE.
Yep.
And I have to think that most websites now are going to pay a lot of attention to WebKit because it's Safari, it's Chrome, it's now Opera. I don't think that's a good thing, by the way. I'm very glad that IE uses its own engine.
Well, yes and no. I mean, I think that this kind of consolidation is natural. I assume that the last dying gasp of Firefox will be it adopting that WebKit.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
I don't expect to see Microsoft.
No. Why should they
do it? But it's an interesting debate.
They hinted a few years ago they might
really
look at WebKit, but then it was kind of like, yeah, we're looking at WebKit, just kind of saying we're not just blankly saying no. But you know, a lot of developers say they don't want to see everybody go WebKit because of the whole monoculture argument.
Exactly. Sure. If you have a security flaw, and there are many in WebKit still, it means every browser
and Microsoft uses that web technology directly in Windows, especially in Windows 8 now that we have these new Metro-style apps, many of which are written with HTML.
On the other hand, I'm sure anybody who develops a website would love the idea of, worry. Well, right now, it's gotten better, but it used to be a nightmare because you'd have to test it with every browser. You still have to test it with multiple
versions. I'm so glad I don't do that anymore. That stuff is horrific.
Yeah. Not fun.
Horrific, yeah.
All right. Let's see.
By the way, that will be the only time we ever mention the word opera on this podcast this entire year.
Except to mock it.
Just want to be clear about that.
No, you've been...
The next time you hear unless that name, that company's Microsoft going out of again. Business.
Yeah, unless they sue Microsoft yeah. again.
Opera has... I did a count, and Opera has only half the number of mentions of Sleipnir. So...
Yes.
It's really kind yes. of down on the... It's the 2.6.
Yeah, we got to do that, like a This Week in Sleipnir feature. You know.
Hey, whatever. What was the upshot? Because Microsoft, without permission, took the ballot, the browser, the stupid-ass ballot browser out of the IE versions. I mean, the EU versions yeah. Yeah. of Windows. And then they got caught. Did they put it back in? What happened?
I think it's yeah. already back, isn't it?
They did put it back in.
Yep.
Yeah. All right.
You don't
to.
Know how much they're going to be fined yet still, though, for doing right. that, I don't think. It's going
to
be a
what's
long
the story? You know, I don't really pay attention to this, but I assume with Windows 8, the browser ballot's just in there, isn't it? Is that how that works?
I think it
in
has to
Europe?
Be in there. I think so.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that silly? And this is where Sleipnir comes in, because it's the only sure. time you'll ever see an option to download Sleipnir in the world, which I think, a WebKit browser.
I thought it was an IE browser.
Maybe it's
but
IE.
It doesn't matter. It's terrible. But the point is, you know, you put that thing in front of hundreds of millions of users like that, and it's still not taking off. I think, it's time to move on.
What an opportunity. Now, it might be WebKit, because I see they have Sleipnir for Mac now. The ultimate advance in web browsing without an address bar. So they've decided that you don't really need an address bar anymore.
Which is weird, because I select the address bar about 2,000 times every day. But
it's the first browser not to have an address bar.
Have the courage of your convictions.
Yeah, I believe in Sleipnir. Yeah.
Well, here's the answer on Browser Ballot. Windows for Live says, Browser Ballot is back. It's even Metro style in
Ooh.
Windows 8.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Pretty.
Awesome.
Really pretty. I'm going to download Sleipnir. It's got a Retina display. Yep. Oh, yeah. Sleipnir for the Mac is WebKit.
Sleipnirbrowser.com. Sleipnir.
Yeah. La, 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 la. Of course, downloading it means that I just closed the Windows notes. Here we go. Back again. Office 2013 licensing. What's the deal? I just bought the new, five computer license.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, because most of those five are on Macs.
Sure.
But you could still buy it, one computer version of Office?
Yep.
Why would you? Why? If you didn't want the $100 a year subscription, is that why?
Go ahead, Mary Jo.
If you're a single computer household, you might still do it, right?
Okay. Is it cheaper?
If you're somebody who doesn't upgrade Office all the time, it's cheaper still to buy it once if you have one computer you want to put it on.
What is it cost for Office 2013? The disk version.
Yeah, it varies per version. I want to say home and students probably $140.
Okay.
And then home business or whatever it's called is like $220.
Yeah. I mean, I think Microsoft finally got the subscription model right. And I'm very happy to pay $100.
Well, yeah, okay, but it's $100 a year. You know, some people don't like that, obviously.
Yeah. No, I understand.
Some people would say, look, I have one computer. I don't understand why I need to pay for these five licenses, right. That kind of thing. Okay, fair enough. There are some instances where, obviously, buying the standalone version is cheaper. But the issue is they've changed it licensing-wise over what they had with the 2010 versions. And so there were some versions of that software you could install legally on two or more computers.
Right, like a desktop and a laptop or something like that,
yep.
Right?
And the home and student version you could install on three computers. Right. The home and student version of 2013 is one computer. But the reason we have it here today is because if you look at the licensing agreement, and you talk to Microsoft about this, although I've gotten some contrary information from people who contacted Microsoft support, but Microsoft's PR firm has said that this license is perpetual for the machine, not for the user, meaning you can't uninstall it and put it on a new computer.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah, so if you have a computer and you buy a new computer, you cannot transfer it to the new computer. You'd have to buy it again. And so, you know, I think reasonably people are saying, obviously, this is Microsoft pushing people even harder toward a subscription service, which I think is fair enough.
Yeah, it's all part of the strategy to make it more attractive to go subscription and less attractive to not, right? So they're doing the whole carrot and stick thing as much as they can. It's like, we're going to make this really uncomfortable for you if you want to stay on the pay once, put on one machine version. So it's part of the plan. I mean, you may not like it, but that's what they're doing. They're trying to get you to go subscription.
Yep. I do think the subscription version becomes a tremendous deal at even as few as two computers. I mean, it's kind of a no-brainer. But some people just don't like it, period. And some people certainly don't need it as well. And I understand why they would be upset. I mean, the world's kind of moving forward, unfortunately, but I don't see this changing.
I would like to take back everything bad I said about Sleepnir.
It's a fine browser.
It's a perfect. It's kind of.
Is it?
Yeah, I kind of like it. It's got now this is for Mac, but it's got the tabs are all thumbnails at the top of the page like that.
So how do you go somewhere?
Like, well, it's kind of a misnomer to say it doesn't have an address bar where you would normally see the search. The window that they used to have, remember in the old days, is still a Omni bar kind of thing. So I could enter anything in here.
I don't approve of this.
You newfangled here. I don't like it. So there are people in the chat room who say, I don't like subscription. I don't want unnecessary updates. I guess that's a legitimate point of view.
You're not going to get any updates, so you're in luck.
Yeah, good news.
That's another.
You don't like updates? Have we got a version for you?
I hope you like the numbers 2013. Is it going to be on that?
What a great year that was.
Yep.
We're going to take a break when we come back. Tips of the week, software of the week, enterprise pick of the week, and code name and beer picks of the week. Yes, it's the famous back of the book pick section. The moment you've all been waiting
now
for.
Now I want to do a beer pick of the week.
You can.
Mary Jo has changed the face of this podcast.
It is. I'll do the coffee of the week. You could do, just want to say, everybody should try Trader Joe's Kona. Fabby. Do you guys on the East Coast, do you know what Trader Joe's? Do you have Trader Joe's on the East Coast?
Oh, yeah.
Fabulous, the Kona.
The curiously sort of a Caribbean.
Trader Joe's, man.
Kind of.
I and I shop at Trader Joe's makes us happy.
Like if Jimmy Buffett had a supermarket, this would
it's
be
Jimmy Buffett's supermarket.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Squarespace. What do you say? Squarespace.com. Really a great place if you want to host a website of any kind. In fact, they just added, I'm very happy to say, e-commerce to the Squarespace capability. So what I should explain kind of with Squarespace is both hosting and a content management system on top of it. So, and I think that's a really good way to go for a variety of reasons. One, because the software is tightly integrated with a hosting solution, you just never run out of bandwidth. You're always up to date. You're always secure. But that's also a reason why people are saying, well, I'd want to make sure that you have certain features, and why Squarespace is doing such a great job of adding features, now adding commerce. What the best, easiest way ever to put commerce on a website. You can now manage and sell products directly on your Squarespace site. It works with all the Squarespace templates. All you do is you click the dollar sign in your website manager and you'll create a new product collection. Boy, this couldn't be easy. You could sell physical or digital goods on a single platform. Digital goods are delivered via customized email links that expire 24 hours from delivery. I mean, this is all handled for you. You've got a 30-second merchant account sign up. They use Stripe, so if you don't take credit cards, don't worry. Squarespace will make it easy. No Squarespace imposed transaction fees as part of the business plan. So I have to say, Squarespace hits it out of the park once again. The best hosting, the best content management solution. It's just Squarespace. You got to try it. No, good news is they make it very easy to try it absolutely free. Just go to squarespace.com, and you got 2 weeks. You don't need a credit card. You got 2 weeks to install a template. Excuse me. Take a look at all the great templates they've got. To import content from your existing site, Squarespace has a very nice importer for WordPress, Blogger. And when it imports stuff, it imports all the links, all the SEO. Everything stays the same. So you can really see what your site would look like if you were hosted on Squarespace. One of the things I like, if you're a photographer, it's a great site for a great hosting service for photographers and other people who want to do portfolios. A number of very nice portfolio templates like this one, Avenue. But also, as you can see, all of their new templates are mobile responsive. That means your site looks fantastic on any size display, from a 3.5-inch iPhone to a 27-inch Dell XPS 1. I mean, it's going to look great. And notice, when you start using the template, we got to change that offer code. I'm going to put that new offer code up here. When you start using that template, you will automatically, put that right there, get to choose other looks and styles, but you also have complete drag and drop functionality, so you never look the same as anybody else. Every square, this is all one template. Every Squarespace site looks unique, looks different, looks like a perfect snowflake, all yours. The ultimate platform. Now, after the 2-week trial, you say, I like this. It's doing great. I want to buy. They've got now the three new plans. We've talked about the standard plan before, $8 a month when you buy an annual. I particularly like the unlimited plan because you get unlimited pages. You get unlimited bandwidth. If all of a sudden a million people come to your site in 1 hour, doesn't matter, the site will not go down. And most importantly, you won't get a bandwidth bill at the end of the month. It's all part of the plan. Unlimited storage, unlimited contributors. When you buy an annual plan on any of their plans, you'll automatically, they'll register a custom domain name for you and hook it up to your system. Now look at this new, the business plan, $24 a month, fully integrated e-commerce. And again, they don't take a cut. That's why you pay a little bit more a month. You get unlimited physical products, unlimited digital products. You get a complete mobile store, inventory tracking, and everything else of the unlimited plan, including unlimited bandwidth, pages, blogs, galleries, and all that. So if you're a photographer now, even a better place for your gallery, you can even sell pictures right there from the Squarespace gallery. I'll tell you, I think you got to try this free. 2 weeks, no credit card, just go to squarespace.com. If you decide to buy, use our offer code Windows2, because we're in February, so it's Windows plus the month, Windows2, and you get 10% off your first purchase, a good reason to get the full year plan. Squarespace.com. A great place to create your next website. We're talking Windows. Paul Thurrott from the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Mary Jo Foley from ZDNet at allaboutmicrosoft.com. Time for your pick of the week, Mr. Paul. Mr. Paul.
Sorry, did you say pick or tip?
Thurrott. Tip, pick, whatever you want to do. Sorry. You do a tip. Let's do it. Let's do a tip.
I'm embarrassed to say that I just found out about this yesterday because I get this question so regularly, and I'm so used to telling people that this is not possible.
Oh, no.
That I'm just, I feel dumb but excited at the same time, which is
that's
Windows
why,
Phone.
That's you know, why I use narcotics.
Pretty much my entire life is pretty much like that. So dumb but excited.
Yeah.
But dumb but positive about the future.
It's like a speedball for your brain.
So Windows Phone obviously has elegant typography and whatnot, but a lot of people can't read some of the smaller text sizes, and I would include myself on that list. And in Windows Phone 7X, there was no way to change it. But in Windows Phone 8, there was, in fact, a settings control under ease of access that lets you choose between five sizes of text. And this changes the text all over Windows Phone, the lock screen, any place that has lists of text, like the People app, What's New list, the email messages list, the messaging app messages list, and messages. I mean, basically anywhere there's text. And so if you've been, you know, squinting at your phone like I do a lot, this is just kind of a revelation that you can change this. So I got so used to this not being possible that I guess I just stopped looking. So it's possible, but you have to have Windows Phone 8. It's not in Windows Phone 7X still.
That's a nice feature.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It makes a big difference.
Very handy. Don't blame yourself. I thought it was impossible on an iPhone until somebody in my Pilates class showed me. She said, "Oh, no, you can do that, Leo. Look." I said, "Oh, yeah."
Thanks.
Thank you.
Technology expert.
Where should I put my feet? On that bar?
Yes. All right.
Software pick of the week.
Software Pick is BlueStacks, and this has been around for a little while.
This is exciting. This is really exciting.
Android emulator. It's interesting.
How does it work?
I have mixed feelings about this.
I've been reading about it.
They came out with a version specifically for the Surface Pro, and this it has some kind of Windows 8 optimization.
So it lets you run Android's apps on your Windows.
Yeah. And I've run apps as diverse as, you know, like the Kindle app, which is just an app, and then a brand new game, Temple Run 2, you know, that just came out.
And now that's a challenging game. Did it run well?
It ran fine, yeah. It worked exactly as you would expect.
That is really cool.
Yeah, the only thing I have to say, now that I've been using it for a little while and kind of playing around with it, this would make a lot more sense for Surface RT, given the thinness and lightness of that device and its ARM processor and all that kind of stuff and the absolute dearth of apps on that platform. I suspect, obviously, it's a desktop application, so that can't happen. Maybe a Metro version could happen. I'm not really sure, but...
So do you have like an Android icon in your icons, or I mean, how does it?
Actually, the way it integrates with Windows, so it creates a library, and you can actually start Android apps from File Explorer.
That's great
in Windows. Yeah, it's pretty amazing.
Can you put it in the Metro start screen?
Yeah, actually, let me see. They probably are there. Actually, I don't see them there.
It's a great idea. I love that.
I'm not sure if I've removed them. No, I guess not. But. It's interesting because it also integrates with the gestures that we have in Windows 8. So what brings up the charms also brings up a mini Android menu with the ability to get out of that app and go back to the beginning and, you know, close the emulator and so forth. And so if you've ever used an Android device, it's funny. And you can run it on, like I've been running it on this big screen too. You can't really play games that way. But I had the Kindle app, for example, up on here, and I've used the Kindle app on Android devices a lot, and so I recognize it as that app, but it's running on this, you know, 27-inch display, which is really funny, and it looks fine. It looks great. It works really well, so it's free. You can't beat the price. I just wish there was an RT version. I think that would be really interesting, but still cool on Surface Pro certainly. And you don't have to have Surface. You can run this on. There are versions for just Windows.
Now, the mini Surface sounds even better.
Yeah.
Even better. Mo better.
Yep.
I would make that my phone. If they came out with, make it a 5, 6, 7 inch. 7 would be great. 7 inch running, as you said, 1366 by 768 or something like that. Running Windows 8 Pro.
Yep.
BlueStacks.
Imagine if you were an IT pro and you wanted to use something like PowerShell or Remote Desktop or, you know, whatever. I mean, the networking stuff that's built in Windows. I mean, there are people who would get chills just thinking about such a phone. You know,
I would love it. By the way, Rev in our chat room says is pointing to an article at PC World saying BlueStacks is considering a Windows RT version. Obviously, it's a whole different program because you'd have to run it for ARM.
Yep.
Yeah, wouldn't they have
to? Well, you'd have to run it for
the
Metro.
Store, right?
It has to be Metro. Store. Yeah.
What's that?
It has to be
wouldn't
Metro.
It have to be in the Windows Store?
Yeah.
It would be, yeah.
Yeah, so that's probably...
Well, it's a free app. I mean, it's free.
Yeah.
But would Microsoft allow it?
I know. That's what I wonder.
I think so. Somebody told me that there was a Super Nintendo emulator in the store, which I've not... I guess I could verify that, but I've not. I don't see any reason why not. Yeah. We're not Apple, Leo. You know?
All right. Now we move to the Enterprise, the moment you've all been waiting for. The Enterprise pick of the week. Mary Jo Foley.
The Enterprise pick of the week.
Big
Exchange.
One. Yeah.
Exchange. So a lot of news this week around Exchange, all different versions of Exchange. So one thing that happened this week is Microsoft posted Service Pack 3 for Exchange 2010. And that provides you with Windows Server 2012 compatibility, among other things. So that's a very important update if you're still running 2010, which many people are. Also, we learned this week from Microsoft's blog that they're going to be moving to a new servicing model with Exchange 2013. And what they're going to be doing of these things, they're calling cumulative roll-ups, cumulative updates. And the first of these is going to come out sometime in the first quarter of this year. And what they're basically going to do is separate security fixes from the other things that go into the roll-up, so new features and functionality. And they're going to deliver these cumulative updates every quarter. So this is something really great for IT administrators who want to plan in advance. Like, when can I get the latest set of updates? So you know you're going to get them every quarter. They're going to be in this new cumulative update package. And so that's a new way of doing things on the Exchange platform. The other thing that happened that was very interesting, Leo, you probably talked about this on one of the other shows, was this bug around iOS and Exchange. Did you guys talk about this at all?
No, I don't think so.
So there was this bug that was introduced by iOS 6.1, where it was hitting the Exchange servers too often. So Microsoft issued guidance to people. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Like, they said don't upgrade to 6.1. I do
don't upgrade.
That.
Yeah. Don't upgrade to 6.1, guys, because we're gonna like try to block you otherwise. But we found out this week that Apple and Microsoft are working together on a fix for this problem. And Microsoft actually posted some temporary workaround this week. So something's starting to happen there, and hopefully that will be resolved very soon.
6.1 is turning out to be full of bugs.
Yeah,
they reintroduced the bug that lets anybody crack into your phone just by manipulating the emergency call screen. Nice. Yeah. Really nice.
Not good.
This is what happens when you let the companies update the phones instead of the carriers.
Wow. I'll take it.
Yeah.
God, please give me that choice.
Can we have the option?
So here's my wallet. I just want to update my phone.
And you mentioned, Mary Jo, the Bill Gates AMA, which is, Microsoft just obviously discovered Reddit. And so the Surface team does an AMA. Bill Gates did an AMA on his 80-inch. He did it on Windows 8 on his 80-inch screen. And you point out something I thought was very interesting, and this is your code name pick of the week.
It is. So my code name pick of the week is WinFS, which is actually the code name for what was called Windows Future Storage.
Sigh.
I know.
We hardly knew ye.
I know. So they asked Bill Gates on the Reddit AMA, what was your biggest regret of the technology that never shipped from Microsoft if you could have it to do over again? And he said WinFS, which I thought was a crazy pick. Yeah. So WinFS was supposed to, it was supposed to be so many things, like an object-oriented file system. Some people described it as like the database gets integrated into the file system. No two people, even who worked on the team, could agree what it was, and they ended up scrapping it in the end. And I think at one point it was even supposed to be like one of the key pillars of Vista.
I remember.
They scrapped it and ended up delivering a few of the components of it as part of different versions of SQL Server that came out. But I thought that was a really interesting pick on Gates' part. Like, what was your biggest regret of this?
Well, he's a real geek. You know, when you ask real geeks, that comes up all the time. We wanted a modern file system. And that was the promise of Longhorn. Wasn't it Longhorn before it was Vista? This was really all about Longhorn.
Yeah, it was Longhorn. Yeah.
It was the big Longhorn thing.
Even back to, you guys probably remember this, information at your fingertips.
Yeah.
Remember that whole
thing?
Yeah. This was kind of like the ideas that were the precursors to WinFS and Cairo, the object oriented
Cairo,
files.
Yeah,
so many good code names from those days. It never ended up happening.
and you quote some more in your column, Bill Gates' column on All About Microsoft. One of the things he said, the next emerging technologies that will be as disruptive as computers were, robots.
I know, he's still a big robot believer.
Robots, can't wait.
He's going to control him with his compact tablet PC.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Can't wait.
I thought his best answer, though, was what people, they said, what do people give you on your birthday since you're the richest guy in the world?
Yeah.
And he said, free software. Just kidding.
That's good.
That was good.
That's a good Reddit answer.
It was.
He's pandering to the Reddit crowd.
Yep.
Did they ask him what's the standard Reddit question about the duck? A thousand ducks or 1,000 pounds?
Oh, yeah, they did. They asked him that.
What was his? Did he answer it?
He did answer it. They said, which one would you rather have, right? A thousand ducks or one
fight.
Giant?
Which one would you rather fight? Not
right,
have.
Or a horse sized duck?
A horse sized duck or a thousand?
I think he said the horse sized
duck.
I think he said horse sized duck. I'm pretty sure.
Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, he answered that on a video. They,
he would
they
rather
did it first.
Fight one horse-sized duck.
Yeah.
One horse-sized duck would be a far better opponent. That, well, let's see. I think he actually didn't he
yeah,
do a video?
Yeah, he did this cute video. The video was super cute.
Let me see. I think I have it. I have it here. Let me see if I can play it. See if I have the technology. Push a button. Push another button. How much money is in your wallet?
I don't always carry a wallet, but I got one with me, and it looks like I've got, well, $100.
Can I have $1 million?
I use it to floss my teeth.
Well, Melinda and I thought long and hard about where the money we're lucky enough to have should go. We've decided it goes to invent new vaccines for things like malaria.
In other words, no.
AIDS, to you. Seeds for farmers who need to grow more. So if you're a poor farmer, if you're a child growing up who hasn't had access to these vaccines, those resources are for you. But otherwise, we've already picked where all the money's going to go.
Just say no, Bill. Just say no. Which would you rather fight, 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Not sure about the specifics, but in general, I like taking on big problems, things like new vaccines. So I guess you could call that a horse-sized duck.
So by the way, a lot more clear than his DOG deposition during the antitrust trial.
He got right to it.
Yep. He's learned a lot in those years.
I like it that he made the video. I think that's really cool. And he answered those, I think, before. Those are pre-recorded. He knew they would ask him about the horse-sized duck because that's kind of a tradition. Sure. And so he answered it ahead of time. He knew somebody would say, can you give me $1 million? I like it. By the way, on the Colbert Report, apparently he says 100 duck-sized horses.
I wouldn't feel bad about hurting little horses.
I know. It's a tough one. You should start thinking now for your Reddit AMA, Paul. Start considering this one. Paul Thurrott is... Wait a minute. I've left something important out. Our beer pick of the week. Let me just put my kilt on for this one, Mary Jo.
Yes. So next week is the Microsoft MVP Summit in Seattle. And so one of the participants said, you should pick a beer for us. The MVP's going to the summit.
Yeah.
So I picked a Seattle beer, Pike Place Kilt Lifter. It's called the Kilt Lifter because it's a Scotch ale. And the reason I picked it was I said, you know, they tell all these MVPs you're under NDA, don't tell anybody anything, but maybe one of them will lift their kilt and show some secrets after they drink a few Kilt Lifters.
Mary Jo, you can dream on, can't you?
Can't I? No. And I want to give a shout out. Can I give a shout out to one MVP?
Sure.
Because Paul and I have both worked with this guy, Marcus Lyons. He runs these things called the Consumer Camp, where they show everyday consumers technologies from Microsoft and how to use them. And he's going to be running a consumer camp in Bellevue on Saturday. So if you're in Bellevue or if you're going to the MVP Summit, go check out Marcus's consumer camp at the Microsoft Bellevue store on Saturday.
And no matter where you are, lift a kilt lifter.
Exactly.
Pikes.
Marcus will be there, but we're not sure if 128 gig Surface Pros will be there.
Exactly.
Which would you rather have? A horse size Surface?
100 mini Marcus Lyons or one giant Surface Pro?
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our Valentine's Day edition of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott is here from his day job as the amanuensis at the Supersite for Windows, winsupersite.com. Mary Jo Foley is a scribe at allaboutmicrosoft.com. Together they cover Windows and all the other Microsoft products in great depth, and they do it each week here on Windows Weekly, Thursdays at 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 1900 UTC or at 2 p.m. Eastern time on twit.tv. Watch live if you can. One of these days, we'll ask the chat room, and we'll give them a chance. One of these days.
Would have done it today, but I spent too much time screwing around with my pop filter.
Blame the pop filter. They come in the can, you know.
What's happened?
I heard it break halfway through. I heard it crash to the ground. So obviously you need to do a better job with your screws. We also invite you to audio or video versions are available on demand at the website, twit.tv/WW, or wherever finer internet programming is available. Things like Stitcher, iTunes, you know, all those places. The Zoom marketplace. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next week on Windows Weekly.
There's just a certain physical skill that's missing from this equation.
You need a screwdriver, too.
I do have a screwdriver.
You need a...
Wait, you got yours on?
Yeah, even I got mine on. How about that?
Oh, Mary Jo! Owned, Paul. Paul, you're owned. Oh, ha ha.
This is like every single conversation I have with my son right now.
BSW has an instruction page.
Well, no, it just says...
Oh, okay.
Well, no, we believe it. Look, Mary Jo even got hers on.
All right, I did. Okay.
You have to, anyway, don't worry. You don't have to do it now, Paul. You're not.
No, I have to do it now.
Okay. It's cool that it comes in a can.
I like that it comes in a can.
Yeah. Do you have to use a can opener?
No, I figured out eventually. I just don't understand how this is going
to
work.
It is important to position the repop properly. I think they're testing the pop filter when they say it's important to position the repop properly. Yeah. So please play close attention.
All right, maybe we shouldn't do this now. I'm obviously...
Mine obviously doesn't do diddly-do because I'm popping like crazy.
How did you get it? All right, forget it. You know what? I could probably just leave it on there for now like this.
Yeah, just have it hanging there. The key now is, as you'll also notice, it says...
Squeeze the clamp with your fingers. Like, you know where the threaded screw thing is? Squeeze
yeah, the
that.
Problem is it's... Right. Oh, yeah. Okay.
See it? Squeeze.
This is adorable. This is definitely making it into the best of this week.
See where the screw is. Push on that and squeeze.
I can't.
Squeeze it.
I'll do this later. All right. I will be able to get it to work.
I think your hands are too big.
I do too.